The sound of an emergency podcast right there. Not for a sacking for the first time in our life as a football podcast, but we felt time to have a chat after the news of a return. No, not Bobby Ewing. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. No one's going to be in the shower. Mike is with
Crikey,
me.
John. Talk about dating yourself. Bobby Ewing, we do have to explain to everyone listening that Bobby Ewing appeared in a dream. He died in Dallas. And
the biggest television show of the 1980s, Michael.
Yeah, all right. Okay, go look it up, kids.
Emmanuel Dennis is returning to Watford Football Club. And I think I've done this on purpose, Michael, to get you on this, to talk it through before you bombard the rest of the group on WhatsApp with your thoughts and feelings, because that's what we do in this podcast. We talk things through. Firstly, your initial reaction, I suspect, would have been one of, oh, God, not again.
Yeah, it is very much here we go again, because you mentioned the WhatsApp group, and the word, I think, of the last week or so in the WhatsApp group, if you did a word cloud, it would probably be Jinx.
Jinx,
we've talked about it. All started when Geordie, whenever Watford, there was a game Watford were 1-0 up in, it was a game we went on to lose, and Geordie shared the league table as was when we were winning. I was like, oh, Geordie, you can't do that. You wait until afterwards, you've jinxed it. And obviously the reality is you can't jinx it. But as football supporters, we know that we're a superstitious bunch. So we've been talking about jinxing for the last sort of 7-10 days on or off. And the last podcast on after Bristol City, we spoke and we even mentioned it. We talked about how settled everything seemed, how happy Val was, and how it felt like he was going to be here for the season. And then we spoke about jinxing it. And then I think Fabrizio Romano's broken the news that Emmanuel Dennis is back at Watford. And it's like, oh my gosh, have we jinxed it? Is the chaos about to begin again? Because Emmanuel Dennis, really, we had lots of fun with him.
Yes, I'm going to not play the opposite to you, Michael, in this, but I do want to talk about the good and the bad. And let's go with, we know what the bad was. A independent thinker, a character who wasn't quite, seemingly, from what we hear, a good team player. He was so important in many ways because, you know, talking about the time of year, AFCON's on, he didn't go. He was called up. He was in a sweet spot in the Premier League. He was scoring goals. And a load of stuff happened there in that time where the wheels completely and utterly fell off.
Well, it was the curse, wasn't it, obviously?
Obviously,
that everyone spoke about, yeah. I mean, if we're talking about jinxes, we might as well go in all in on the Nigerian curse that was put upon us when we didn't didn't let Emmanuel Dennis go off to AFCON, yeah.
But what's that going to do then in this situation? Or let's go away. What do you think a person like him did, why it didn't work and why we weren't quickly wanting him to stay? You know, it wasn't a financial thing necessarily, because he had the, you know, we were told that in a fans event that, you know, all the players had a drop down in pay. That wasn't going to be a problem, and he was one of them. But he was out the door quite quickly, maybe for the fact that he got a nice little sum of money off Nottingham Forest, where he didn't stay for very long. And or is it the fact that he wasn't going to be the character to help refocus Watford, what is it, originally under Rob Edwards, which that didn't get a chance to happen. Which is the bigger worry for you?
I think that the issue with Dennis is pretty clear. He arrived at Watford, as everyone knew, with a checkered history. He was famously left out of a Champions League game when he was playing at Club Brugge. Because let's not forget, he came to Watford with pedigree, but players with pedigree arrive at Watford for a reason, right? We have to face facts in that regard. And I think the most famous story about him before he came to Watford was I think Brugge were playing Dortmund. Emmanuel Dennis was starting for Brugge, but ended up being left out of that game because he kicked up a stink about where he was sat on the coach. He wasn't able to sit in his favourite seat, or he wasn't sat where he wanted to sit. Kicked up a major stink, ended up missing out on a Champions League match. And we all make silly decisions, certainly in the heat of the moment, and we all have, well, superstitions, as we've spoken about. So if it was his lucky seat, whatever. But to manufacture a situation when you miss out playing a Champions League game against Borussia Dortmund is a bit alarming, right? Mm. So then fast forward to Watford, and there were lots of rumours during Emmanuel Dennis's time at Watford, not just about him, but about the squad as a whole, as to how problematic it was. A bunch of individuals who weren't really interested in playing for the badge, and that much was borne out in the performances, that much was borne out by a number of head coaches effectively washing their hands of him and saying that they couldn't coach them, and Watford were relegated with a whimper. And there was enough chatter, there was enough news coming out, enough stories to suggest that amongst the chief protagonists was Emmanuel Dennis in that, in terms of being a divisive figure. So much so that, and there's no reason to dispute this, this has been heard from a number of good sources, that the day that Emmanuel Dennis left Watford, the players were celebrating. There was open celebrations when he was sold to Nottingham Forest for a decent sum, it has to be said. And as a transfer, it made sense as to what Watford were doing there in the Championship at that stage. You mentioned there, John, that the hierarchy said we didn't need to sell, but we always knew that players like that were going to go.
There were three of them, weren't there? First game, you know, we saw him. We saw it was a great goal. It was Pedro. There was Dennis, and there was Saar. And oh, imagine if we kept all three of those all season long. What a thing it would be. We'd walk our way to promotion. Except, well, it did. They did great in that first game. Was it Sheffield United when they scored that, you know, one end to the other? But it did always feel like one of them had to go, but maybe two of them would go, and always fingers crossed, not all three of them would go. And it felt like he was the right one to go if it was that way. But do you not even think, though, a little bit, and I'm absolutely not saying this is my thoughts, but this is, you know, my feelings, but this is my thinking. He has had a terrible time of it. He has gone to Nottingham Forest with a quite high production welcome video, is off on the way, but it was quite high value, lots of flashy lights and all that sort of stuff.
They spent more on that video than we did on signing him, I think.
I bet they did. They made a lot of videos that summer, Nottingham Forest. So it's sort of like he did play, and I remember we all looked to see if he played and what he did, but he didn't do anything really. He's gone somewhere else on loan. He's coming to us, I suspect, on loan, because there's no way we're going to spend the money and Forrest want to make some money back on him. It just feels like maybe, just maybe, he has had some sort of reality check. I'm not saying we're going to grab him back to complete reality. I mean, what could you do with any of the footballers these days? But it is different, the squad he's coming into, the dressing room he's coming into. Because like you say, that was a dressing room he came into. Yes, Troy was there to begin with, but he left very quickly. He did have the captaincy of Tom Cleverley and Craig Cathcart, but neither of those boys, however amazing footballers and great that they've done for the club, you know, no one around that dressing room was going to keep him in check. There are plenty now, aren't there? I know what you're saying. It could be absolute devices. But do you think the players, initially, let's talk about the players rather than Val, but the players, do you think he's coming into it and it's solid? There are more players to sort him out, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Look, there is a possibility of redemption. That happens in football. We've signed enough rough diamonds in the past. Marlon King was one that struggled and came to Watford and rehabilitated his career. Obviously, it didn't end particularly well. Troy made a huge mistake and came back and went on to have a stellar career with us. So, look, there is absolutely nothing to say that his redemption arc cannot be completed at Watford. But you mentioned Nottingham Forest there, John, and you mentioned Turkey. And his career since leaving Watford, he evidently wasn't wanted by Steve Cooper at Nottingham Forest. He was a glitzy name player that the owner brought in. Steve Cooper never really fancied him. You could see that by the way he was utilised. He's been shipped off to Turkey, where he's played a handful of games, so isn't making an impact there. So my rebuttal would be, look at what he's done since he's left Watford, and is there much sign of of a change in attitude. Now, the thing in his favour is that he's potentially sort of drinking in the last chance saloon a bit. He could think, right, I've tried Forest in the Premier League, didn't work out. I've tried going to Turkey, that didn't work out. I need to butt my ideas up. But remember, this is a guy who kicked off about where he sits on a coach before a Champions League game. That would be my only thing.
He's going to be still getting a weekly wage that he signed when he went to Forest. He will still be getting that in his bank account.
We'll be covering some of those wages. Yeah, but you asked the question. Yeah. Let me get to your question.
Okay, go on.
So, and we do need to talk about Val as well. And the reason that I'm sort of sounding slightly concerned, I mean, the caveat is he could come in and score hatfuls of goals and it could be a load of fun, right? But I think we have to look at the bigger picture here and what it means about the way Watford is run. You're right to point out the team he played in before, the senior players were sort of coming to the end of their careers. They would have been aware that they were in a team destined for the Championship. It was a busted flush. Where's the mileage, really, in trying to dig out someone who is a poor performer or divisive? And that could go for Emmanuel Dennis or could go for any of the others that were evidently there. Now, what he's going into is a dressing room that has been carefully formed and a lot of hard work has gone into getting it where it is now. The way this team gets results is despite its lack of quality and because of its team spirit and work ethic. We're a nightmare defensively. We don't score enough goals, but we're grinding out wins. And we're grinding out wins because this team believes in each other. They work for each other. They work for the club. They work for the shirt and they work for their manager. So you'd hope that straight off the bat, you're looking at the senior pros, you're looking at Jake Livermore, who has grown exponentially in stature over the last couple of months at Watford. Wesley Hurt, who is the on-field captain. You'd like to think that those two in particular are going to look at what they've helped to create at Watford and not stand for it. And if he does swan in and start being the Emmanuel Dennis that he was last time in his Vicarage Road dressing room, he is told in no uncertain terms that he needs to cut it out, pull his socks up and get on with it. And that is, we have to hope that, because otherwise we're rolling the dice and potentially going back to those bad apples. We've got rid of someone in this window who has evidently got an attitudinal problem in Imran Lusa. Valerian Ismail has cut one of the most talented players in the squad because he's not prepared to knuckle down and he's not committed to the football club. So he's gone. It's been hard work to get here. It's been hard work to get the supporters back on side. It's been hard work to turn that yellow, red and black tank around from what it was, just drifting aimlessly with sort of a couple of half-interested captains and on board. The concern I have is that we're gambling with bringing someone back in who was poisoning the well last time round.
So so then that's perfect. But but it's not all that, is it? It isn't. The true problem isn't the fact that he would poison necessarily the dressing room. I do think on the week by week basis, he will be sorted out by the players and be able to be disciplined, as they all are, by Valerian. Yeah. But actually, that isn't the bigger problem, because if you wrote down all the other players that ever played for Watford beforehand and who would fit into Valerian Ismail's side, and how you described it, the togetherness of this side, he wouldn't be it. So why is he in? And who's brought him in?
Yeah.
Name begins with G? Okay, Gino probably, because he's got the, you know, he's a former signing. It feels his choice, doesn't it?
It feels for all the world like a Gino Pozzo signing. We've talked about what happens in this transfer window will indicate how serious Watford are, and indeed Gino Pozzo is about building a squad that can continue on this pretty decent trajectory. And on the face of it, Emmanuel Dennis, last time he was at Watford, scored some goals and was a handful for defences. So on the face of it, on the pitch, you can see why for Gino Pozzo he'd be an attractive proposition. He's someone he sold for, 14, 15 million quid, now has an opportunity to get him back for nothing for a season that could, in his eyes, I guess, propel Watford up the league, hopefully into the playoffs, and maybe with an outside shot of getting into the playoffs and being successful. It feels, for all the world, like a Gino Pozzo punt. And the reason that I'm concerned about that, and the reason I mentioned the jinxing at the start, was we were talking about how settled Valerian Ismail is and how hard he's had to work to be settled. And you've mentioned, John, he's disciplined players. Not only has he got rid of Imran Lusa, in effect, but Hamer and Backman, Tom Deli Bashiru, they've all been publicly disciplined. So he is hot on discipline. So for him, he's been in the game, and he will have heard much more frequent first-hand accounts than we will about Emmanuel Dennis. So he will know for a fact how he behaves in dressing rooms, how he's behaved previously, and what he's like. And I think if Valerian Ismail was going to choose someone on characteristics, I think it's pretty clear that Emmanuel Dennis would be right down the bottom. However, I'd like to think, and this is what I'm hoping, is that Valerian Ismail is backing himself to get the best out of Emmanuel Dennis, like A.D. Boothroyd did with Marlon King, for example.
Mm.
Rough diamond, and I think he's backing himself to get the best out of him. And that's what we've got to hope. But I just despair a little bit, because it just feels like we're opening the can of worms again and taking sort of... There's that. We're looking at the map, and just in the corner of Gino's eye, there's that little town called Chaos and Carnage, upon sea.
He's the mayor. Oh,
yeah. I wonder if we just head over there and see what's happening. We might be able to ruffle a few feathers. But I think what I worry about is, look, I will always get accused of not being, what's the word, ambitious enough for Watford. Because I've enjoyed this season, and I will enjoy this season if we finish 10th, 9th, 8th, 11th. And people might say, well, where's your ambition? Why don't you want us to get back up? Well, I would rather have a functioning football club with a defined style, with a group of players who are obviously playing for us, obviously playing for that badge that we love so much.
Mm.
And that's happened. That's taken a long time to get that back, relatively speaking. But you'd hope that Valerian Ismail has been pretty clear and pretty open with his expectations of players. So Gino is presumably on board with that, because Valerian Ismail is still in post. So he's disciplined players publicly, and that's been communicated. It's not a secret. And Gino will have seen that. So he must know what Val's about. Val must know what Emmanuel Dennis is about. And they've got to get to work on making that work. But I guess the other thing in mitigation is, who else is knocking around in January?
Yeah,
that there isn't much. He's not going to be fit, because I don't think he's played much, so we're not going to see him straight away. But I don't think there is much out there. I'm so protective of what Valerian Ismail has been able to do this season, and I'm so scarred by having to watch a Watford side that had players like Emmanuel Dennis in it, and how indifferent they were to our football club and to the team and what it meant to wear that yellow shirt. And look, like I said, I'd love it if he comes in, proves everyone wrong, scores 15 goals in the rest of the season. We all have a blast. You were talking the last podcast, John, about how much fun we're going to have for the rest of the season. I'd like nothing more for him to say, right, Emmanuel, I'm going to, or whatever his actual first name is, I don't know. Right, come on, have a little look himself in the mirror and say, right, I'm going back to Watford. The fans in the main will be on board with me. Let's show the world what I can do, and let's get this thing back on track. I've got concerns, and I've banged on about them already. It's a surprising transfer. It'll no doubt raise some eyebrows outside WD18, let alone inside it. I'm sure there's Watford fans sort of scurrying around in their drawers to get out those shirts with Dennis on the back. It's taken everyone by surprise, I think. But I think there is a huge, huge, huge set of caveats here. I hope that our senior players can do the business and protect what they've created. I hope Val can protect what he's created, and in turn he's created, and in turn protect himself. Because as we've suggested, and I think we can do it with pretty a pretty high degree of confidence. This is a Gino Pozzo idea that if it doesn't come off and Valerian Ismail doesn't decide to play him for whatever reason, then that doesn't become an issue. So lots... never a dull moment, is there, John?
Never.
It's carnage.
It's interesting, like, you know, the initial reaction on our WhatsApp group, DCW is, oh, I don't like it. And then Geordie's like, well, I like him as a player. And so if we get, you know, the one that Geordie likes, then fine. And that should be fine. It just fascinates me with, is it that power move? Or is it Gino flexing his muscles, trying to show I've still got a say about who comes in and whatever? Is he a bit bored?
I think he just wants a decent player.
Or is it the fact that he's going, well, we should go for a promotion push, really. We should be trying to do that. I know a good player, and he's made a stupid mistake. Because he wants, you know, that, like you say, that ambition is his ambition. We are going to be pushing. He sees how close we are to the playoffs. And he thinks a player like him is going to do the difference. Because actually, the difference is not massive. The difference isn't 15, 20 goals. The difference is probably a couple of games, well, a handful or so of games, him scoring a goal, which will make the difference between a win, a draw, or a draw and a loss. So it's in a footballing way, in a footballing choice, which I'm sure is exactly what Gino's trying to sell it as, that does make sense with him. If it's all about trying to make sure that we are in, we get into the playoffs. I just can't think another way why he would do
that's
that.
That's it. He's gone down the list. He's probably been offered to him. He knows him, knows the agent, and is available. And probably for Gino, I guess he's thinking the better the devil you know.
Yeah.
And he would probably think, well, if my manager's worth his salt, he can get the best out of what is evident, because he is a talented player. We've seen it. I mean, he can do a somersault, if nothing else. That amazing picture of Norwich will always live long in the memory. But that's, yeah, he's obviously going to have, how do I add to this squad? And he's weighed it up in whatever way that Gino Pozzo has, and he's decided that it's the way he wants to go. And there's no question that it is because he wants the team to succeed. I don't think there's any ulterior motives in terms of showing who's boss or trying to flex. I think it is it feels very route one, to go back to something that sort of worked before. But when you scratch beneath the surface, it probably did more damage than good. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's flabbergasting news, and I'm sure it will excite. I'm sure it will excite plenty. And
let's talk about it. Why is it going to excite plenty? What are those moments that he had when he was a Watford player? That, you know, what are the things that are going to get people excited? He was fairly, you know, he ran, he defended, he was all over the shop. He, you know, not say he worked hard, but he put himself around. He was full of energy. I've already talked about that goal against Sheffield United and his part in that three just before he left. But in that Premier League season, you mentioned the Norwich. I mean, the photo is iconic of him doing his backflip and the player and the Norwich fan in the background. What other big games were there for you that he really stood out in?
I mean, the one that I will that lives long in my memory. I was there, and he was running towards me, doing that funny sort of funny little dance when he put the icing on the on the cake at Goodison Park on that incredible 5-2. He came on and scored 90 plus something or other.
Well, most of the goals were scored when he was on the pitch. I think there were at least three or four of them maybe were scored after he was substituted. So he played a big part in what is a one of the very few, but it was a really big win for us that year.
Yeah, and that was a great day. We'd been humped by Liverpool the week before. We'd never won at Goodison Park, so went up there with a hangover after seeing the legends Bacassa the night before, and it was, we went in more, well, not even hope, let alone expectation. And his sort of that dance, look it up on YouTube. I'm sure you will remember it, his arms going side to side, and he sort of. It summed up the chaos of the day, and it kind of summed up the chaos of Emmanuel Dennis as well, and what he could do. The Norwich game was another one with that backflip. People will be excited because the guy scores goals.
Yeah.
He's box office.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everyone goes to football to be entertained and to enjoy themselves. absolutely fair play to anyone who's super excited about it. And I sincerely, and I mean it, hope that redemption is complete and that he's able to fit into this squad that we've grown to love so much, that he's able to work with Valerian Ismail without it causing any ructions or problems elsewhere in the club or within that relationship with Gino Pot. So I desperately, desperately hope that can happen. It's going to take some work from both sides for that to happen. There's no question about that. Both management, teammates and the player himself are going to have to work on making it work. But if it does, it could be explosive and fun. I've gone on long enough about what could happen if it doesn't. So yeah. let's
and I'm
on a
sure
high,
but... you'll be the first one to bring it back up again, Michael. I was thinking about my favourite moment he did, which summed him up to me, is that 4-1 home win against Manchester United. And I think it was the third, I can't remember what goal it was. Cucho Hernandez was basically about to lay one in and put his goal in for that big win. And Dennis took it off him, tackled him, went in and he scored the goal. And it's like, yeah, just taking the fire out of somebody else's fun and games is a little bit of what he's about. But we don't know. We just felt I felt was making sure that Mike could work it through, I suppose, before we get any further.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you. It's good to get it all out there.
Yeah.
Good to get it out in the open.
But let's see what the rest of the FDRE group, how they reacted to the news of Emmanuel Dennis coming back. Geordie.
There is something uniquely human about seeking out thrills, whether that's a roller coaster or a bungee jump. Other animals don't do that. And to an extent, there's part of me that feels Emmanuel Dennis joining is a thrill-seeking experience for us. Val has got the team working as a real unit. We've progressed up nicely through the league. No one is stepping out of line. And suddenly, a firework has been thrown into the squad, potentially, with Emmanuel Dennis. We know what he can do on the pitch. It's either going to be a stroke of genius that is the difference between us finishing 8th, 9th or 10th, or 5th or 6th, and that in itself could have huge ramifications, or it's going to be an absolute failure and catastrophe where all the great work that's been done up till now is suddenly undone. I guess Gino's nothing if not a risk taker, so let's keep our fingers crossed that it works out. I, for one, am excited because I loved seeing Emmanuel Dennis, and I think he's a great player. So welcome back to Watford, Emmanuel.
Here's Jason's thoughts.
My first thoughts were, well, apparently there was celebrations in the dressing room when he left last time, so I'm not sure what it would have what it's going to achieve this time when we've got such a settled group. Obviously, we need something more up front, but is he the answer? I don't know. But then actually, the more I thought about it, I kind of went back on myself because I'm thinking, well, I don't think we're going to get to the playoffs. I'm not sure Emmanuel Dennis is the man to do it. But actually, because my expectations now are set so low, if he does do something, I'll be absolutely delighted. So who knows? For me, low expectations, but perhaps an inkling of excitement as to what he might be able to achieve with us.
What does DCW think?
Thoughts on Dennis are decidedly mixed for me. If we get the Emmanuel Dennis that we had in the first half of that Premier League campaign, that ultimately doomed Premier League campaign, the one who scored goals against some of the best teams in the Premier League, then great, because we need that. We need more goals. We need a more dynamic player to play up front. We need more than what Rajovic and Bayo can give us between them. So he could be good from that point of view, but everything we know about him since really halfway through that season, there was the whole strange situation over whether he went to AFCON or not in that season, and his form just tailed off, and then he got his move to Forest, and he's basically done nothing of note since he left us. It doesn't feel like the sort of player or the sort of signing that Valerian Ismail would want to fit into his group. It does smack a little bit as well of perhaps a result of the unclear structure that we now have in terms of the transfer and the recruitment department. After Manga went and Giaretta went, now we've got Nani back in, but is this a Gino Pozzo signing? Who knows? It's a bit of a gamble, although it's only on loan, so it could pay off and it could be great. It could fire us to the playoffs or give us a real good chance of getting in the playoffs. I hope it does, but I do have a feeling that we won't see the Dennis that we did see in those heady days of August 2021.
And Kieran, how's he feeling about Dennis's return?
So I'm about an hour behind everyone else. I've just gone into our WhatsApp group for From the Rookery End and seen the news. Now, I was a big fan of Dennis, as I'm sure most Watford fans were first time round. Exciting, unpredictable, and also found the back of the net a number of times, which we know is not easy in the Premier League. But I cannot help remember that headline of Watford players openly celebrate the departure of Emmanuel Dennis. We do not have the most talented squad, and there is no doubt that Dennis would add an awful lot. But while we don't have the most talented squad, it does feel like one of the more together that we've had in the time under the Pozzos. And the last thing we need is a player coming in and rocking the apple cart. We've seen Val make some very difficult decisions, some stern decisions regarding player behaviour. I'll be very interested to see how he handles Emmanuel Dennis.
And of course, we'll have a chat on another podcast very soon from the Rookery End, probably after weekend, or definitely after weekend, and the FA Cup game against Southampton, where, who knows, Emmanuel Dennis might start. Maybe not, definitely, but at least no, he won't start. But, you know, he'll make an appearance. He'll score three goals. You never know. The magic of the FA Cup. The magic of Emmanuel Dennis. Let's hope we see at least some of it in the next few months, because it is only on loan. It is only on loan. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Come on, you horns.
Come on, you horns.